And you are listening to the Francis Wrestling Show here, FOW Live, on the FOW Radio Network. My name is Patrick, as always, with me, Danny Danger, and Eric, the Cavillas, is on assignment. Who knows where these days? You never know where you see me, Cavillas, pop up these days. But, fellas, how are you guys doing today?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Kind of just chilling.
It is, as they say, 4 days until Christmas. But I like to say is 11 days until Danny and I make our way to Tokyo, Japan for Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes. I don't even know how excited I am just yet. I think I'm still trying to get through Christmas, and then it kind of really sinks in that it's close, you know?
Oh yeah. Very much so. I feel like I'm getting ready. I got all these paperwork. I got, you know, my COVID test scheduled, you know, making sure I have everything I need so for when we land. But yeah, not so real just yet. Plus, also, I mean, who flies, you know, on New Year's Day morning? That's insane.
Well, see, you can still party the night before, and then you just, you know, get to the airport, and then you can sleep on the plane ride. You can sleep your hangover off at 40,000 feet, you know?
You didn't have to go all the way to Japan to go see Sasha Banks, guys. She would have eventually showed up in America somewhere.
Eventually. You know, we've been waiting for that for a while, so.
I mean, it's a long trip just to see the boss.
Well, we're not just seeing the boss. I mean,
she's the only important thing that's happening, so.
And she's not even confirmed to be happening, okay?
Exactly.
Well, no.
Flying all that way for speculation, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Maybe she'll be at a meet and greet, you know?
I doubt it.
A meet and greet not brought to you by whatever that wireless company that she individually would set her up to.
She didn't really ever do those, so I doubt you would ever see her.
She did once. I remember once. I can't remember. I feel like it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago when they came before Raw. They had her.
They would usually do kind of like B and C level tiered talent for those things.
They've upped their game the last few years, especially with the wireless company whose name I can't remember.
It was Cricket Wireless for a while.
Cricket. That's what it was. I think it was a green one.
It's like Mark Henry came to when SmackDown came to Atlanta one time. Mark Henry was one of the people. Years ago, Sheamus did it. One time, I think Natty and Alicia Fox did it. So I don't remember anybody like top tier, and it wasn't when Sheamus was top tier. This was like after his world title run, before the bar.
This year they did Drew McIntyre.
Okay, well that makes sense. He's a main event player.
Yeah, so like I said, they've been up in the game.
Yeah. You know?
But yeah, we may or may not see the boss. Whatever she's gonna call herself, right?
Mercedes Moné. That was the name she filed the copyright for most recently, was Mercedes Moné.
There you go. Maybe she and Frankie Moné can be a tag team somewhere. Well, no. Bailey owns Frankie Moné, doesn't he? Yeah.
Spelled differently.
Yeah. Yeah, so kind of crazy. We're going to Japan. It's funny, apparently Japan is a dream place for a lot of people I've been talking to. Whenever I tell people I'm going to Japan, they're like, wow, I wish I could go. That's the place I want to go to. I've been dreaming of going there. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, what are you going for? wrestling, and they look at me like figures.
They're like, you mean it's not for anime or computers or, you know, weird technology or samurais? It's for wrestling? Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, it's kind of exciting. I don't know how exciting a 14-hour flight is, but alas, it'll be what it'll be.
It's not the journey, it's the destination. Okay. It's the
friends you make on the way.
Well, I don't talk to strangers, so I'll be talking to Danny the whole time.
I'm strange enough for him as it is.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. So yeah, we got the Wrestle Kingdom. Before we get to the Wrestle Kingdom and everything else, I want to talk about Eric. Congratulations. I'm no longer gonna ask you to do the bit, even though you refused to do it more than the two times you did it. You know, and I'm sure you are pleased to hear. Suzuki Gun is no more.
I don't know what Suzuki Gun is, so
yeah.
You know, they're the ones that never had any mercy. Remember? No?
Yeah. That's good. Goon is the pronunciation of that word, sir. Suzuki Goon, which means army. Gun would be something like you fire from your hand.
Yeah, you're telling me to pronounce something correctly. Good luck.
Yeah.
That's my bit.
That's true. That's true.
At least I do my bits.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, but Suzuki-gun decided, you know, Majora Suzuki decided that everybody, it's time for them to kind of branch out on their own, as he says. He said at the end of the year, Suzuki will be no more. So they have, New Japan has their end of the year shows, the 22nd and the 23rd. And the 23rd, the main event, will be essentially Suzuki-gun against itself. Four members on one side, four members on the other. You know, it's been 11 years as a unit, spanning multiple promotions. There was a time they were excommunicated from New Japan and kicked out. They all went to Noah for well over a year before coming back to New Japan and wreaking havoc. They eventually turned into fan favorites, and kind of toned down some of their nefarious tactics, only some, not all. You know, and Suzuki said, hey man, it's time for everybody to kind of go their own way. And, you know, I think this is the first step of Suzuki kind of going the way of retirement. Now, I don't think that's going to happen just yet, but I think maybe in a year or two, he will probably try to retire. I think he just didn't. I think part of it is he also didn't want to step on the toes of Great Muda, who's doing his retirement tour and will be retiring by the end of January. So I think that was, he didn't want to take any thunder away from Muda by saying, hey, I'm, you know, giving myself till this time and then I'm going to be done or whatever. So this is just kind of the first step of that. And I don't know if everybody's going to go their separate ways or if some of them are going to kind of stay together and form, you know, kind of a new faction. I mean, I don't see them all just jumping into the, you know, the Hontai, the main unit of good guys, and just kind of being happy, smiley baby faces, you know, teaming with Hanma and Makabe every week, you know, and I don't really see that for most of them. But we'll see. We'll see. It's definitely an interesting time when a longer tenured faction of so many people just decides, hey, we're calling it quits.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be, I mean, they're going to be missed, but we're still going to see them all in different ways. It'll be see what happens. But of course, Archer recently returning to New Japan Pro Wrestling and Suzuki Gun. A lot of great talent in that faction. Everybody will be able to stand on their own now. And, you know, I think for the most part, most of them all can stand on their own and do just fine. You know, and it served its purpose. Now it's time for him to move on and do the thing. And yeah, so lots of good stuff there. Let's take a quick look at what we have to look forward to on January the 4th. You know, thankfully I don't have to be up at 2 a.m. to watch this show, but yeah, it'll be fun. Okay, so the New Japan Rambo is gonna be you know, part of the pre-show as always. And this one will determine the number one contender to the 2023 King of Pro Wrestling champion. Then we get the Antonio Inoki Memorial match. Of course, you know, they're dedicating this show to its company founder, Antonio Inoki, who passed away this year. Yuji Nagata, Satoshi Kojima, and Togi Makabe versus Tatsumi Fujinami, Minoru Suzuki, and Tiger Mask. I don't know about you guys, but of all these names that we're going to get to see live, I've seen some of these live in the U.S., thankfully. Watching Tatsumi Fujinami wrestle live was never in any bingo card I ever could have imagined creating.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, him kind of showing back up the last year or two and jumping into some mixed man matches is wild. You know, he's not in there for long, but he definitely goes in there and does some stuff that are still able to impress people, especially given his age and the beating his body took over the years. But yeah, I definitely did not think that I would be seeing him anytime soon, you know, in this life, but here we are.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's been wrestling since the 70s, a legend, you know, and eventually becoming a WWE Hall of Famer in 2015. But man, yeah, that's definitely a name. Never thought that happened, but awesome. Even though, like, yeah, can you say he's limited, but still, a legendary name like that. Cool. Looking forward to it. All right. Then the IWGP Junior Heavyweight titles are on the line. Catch 2-2 is what they call it.
They're just Catch 2-2 instead of Catch 22. They just space it like that.
Yeah, of course, a team with Perkins on it would be that complicated. All right. Yeah, TJ Perkins and Francesco Akira defend against Leo Rush and Yo, who are calling themselves Lee Yo. All right. Lee Yo. There we go. Kairi will be defending the IWGP Women's Championship against Tam Nakano. That's going to be fun. FTR is going to defend the IWGP Tag Team Championships against Goto and Yoshihashi. And I want to say, what the heck? Why are you jobbing FTR to the Gun Club? I mean, I don't like that.
It's all about building new stars, brother.
Yeah, okay, sure. Zack Sabre Jr., they haven't wrestled yet, will be wrestling against Ren Narita for the inaugural New Japan Pro Wrestling TV title. Carl Anderson will be defending the NEVER Openweight Championship against Tama Tonga. Keiji Muto, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Shota Umino will be wrestling Los Ingobernables de Japón in a six-man tag match. Of course, this is officially Muto's last New Japan Pro Wrestling match. Of course, Muto being on his retirement tour, and he makes a stop at Wrestle Kingdom for his last New Japan Pro Wrestling match. Yeah, so another cool one that we're going to get to experience. There, say, you know, being part of the goodbye tour to Grey Muta. Taiji Ishimori will be defending the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title against El Desperado, Himuro Takahashi, and Master Wato. Will Ospreay will be defending his United States Championship against Kenny Omega. And in your main event of the evening, Jay White will be defending the IWGP World Heavyweight title against Okada.
I mean, it's a hell of a card. They packed into one night. You know, I mean, there's quite a lot of people that, that were left, you know, without a big match, but I guess that's part of what the Rambo's for. The Rambo, I'm guessing they'll do it like they did last couple years where when it gets down to four, then that's the match, and then those four go on to another match to determine the first King of Pro Wrestling provisional champion for the year, rather than just going all the way down to one person like they have in the past, you know, years before. You know, the first ever defense of the women's IWGP heavy, you know, championship, the first ever crowning of a TV champion in New Japan, both sets of tag titles being defended, the never open weight title being defended, junior heavyweight, US world heavyweight. It's everything, you know, except for the six man, but that's just because that, you know, House of Torture doesn't want to steal the show from everybody else. Or they don't want House of Torture stealing the show from everybody else. And I mean, it's going to be a big, big show. It's going to be one of those you're going to have to wait to pick, you know, possibly match of the night, because there's so many different ones that they could possibly take that honor.
And not only that, it was recently announced that cheering and clapping is allowed for the show.
Yeah, yeah. They apparently worked hard to allow full cheering and everything, as opposed to some restrictions. They said that you will have to wear a mask still, but you can cheer as loud as you want and chant and, you know, all that good stuff. So it... the first time we've had a Wrestle Kingdom like that in many years, so that's going to even make it more fun. Hearing the crowd go wild for the big moments and all that stuff, so it'll definitely be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Eric, if you could pick a match to watch out of the entire show I just mentioned, what as they say, tickles your pickle?
Sasha Banks.
She was not announced. She's a WWE superstar, sir. We don't know who that is.
It's the only reason I'll be watching, if I'd even decide to watch.
GW, you're gonna... well, I was gonna say wake up at 2 a.m., but at that point, you might as well not go to sleep. Stay out.
Well, technically, the show starts... it's the way it's starting this year is actually it starts at 10:30 Eastern at night on the 3rd. Hmm. So you'd only have to be up till 2 a.m. at, you know, to catch the end of the show, probably.
All right.
Well, I mean, technically, right? I mean, if the show used to start around... the pre-show used to start around 1...
and end yeah, but that was a different... that was a different years past. That's what I'm saying. The time is different now.
Well, we got 2 pre-show matches, and then 10 match. I mean, it's 10 matches. I don't remember them ever putting 10 matches on the Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes. Yeah.
This show might go to 5 or 6 a.m. even if it starts at 10.
Okay. I mean, it might. That's true.
I mean, you know, kind of likes to have long matches.
But there isn't an hour time limit to IWGP Heavyweight Championship matches.
And Kenny and Ospreay's entrances alone are going to be like forever.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and I think there'll be a lot of pomp, circumstance. You know, there'll be a lot of, you know, time to celebrate Inoki. I'm sure there'll be a tribute, some type of tribute for Muta. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, the last few years... I think the last few years have felt easier to watch because they split the show into 2 days.
Yeah, so you had 8 or 9 matches, back. 2 different right. nights. Yeah, yeah.
So I think the last few years has felt, at least for me, it has felt differently watching it.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I wasn't watching in the middle of the night. You know, I'm just watching it after the fact.
Yeah.
But they have felt easier to watch. Because there were less matches and it was spread out amongst 2 days. I think that it's going to feel a lot different. They're definitely going to take their time. I mean, if I remember correctly, and if the internet doesn't fail me, the last time we had 1 day of Wrestle Kingdom was back in 2019, and that one had 9 matches, on the regular show, 1 pre-show. Yeah. So here we have 2 pre-shows and 10 matches.
A couple of them have shorter time limits. The TV title match, it has a 15-minute time limit. That's the whole gimmick with the TV title. So it has to be less than 15 minutes. And a few of those matches probably won't go super long either. But like you said, there'll be pomp and circumstance and probably some stuff in between and, all that. It'll be a lot of fun.
And the 20-plus minute break, I'm sure it will have this time.
They hadn't been doing the big breaks lately. Like, they'll do a couple minutes, but, at first it was kind of to clean and sanitize. They only take usually a few minutes in the middle, and then they kind of jump right back in.
Right.
So it's not as long as it once was, where it was, 15, 20 minutes. The guys would come out in hazmat suits and spray every inch of the ring and stuff. Yeah, they definitely don't do that anymore.
We'll just see what happens now. I mean, we're back to 1 day, and everything's changing back, so
yeah.
All right. So match I'm looking forward to the most. I would say, other than the main event, which I loved seeing Jay White and Okada wrestle each other all the time. I'll say Kenny Osprey, because I love Kenny that much.
I'd probably go with the women's match, just because Kyrie's been on my list of people I've wanted to see wrestle live for a long time, and unfortunately I kind of missed her time in NXT when they were touring here, and missed her on the main roster, so I'll get to see her in a big style main event match instead of some 4-minute TV match or whatever, so it'll be a lot better anyways.
I got to watch her win the Mae Young Classic.
So, how does it feel though? We're gonna watch a show here where we have New Japan Pro Wrestler, AEW wrestler, and a WWE wrestler all on the same show. Is this the true Forbidden Door getting smashed?
I mean it seems quite like it, yeah. Because all other quarter, apart from Mickie James entering the Royal Rumble, while still Impact Women's, Knockouts champion, mm-hmm. The only other time WWE has been involved in this Forbidden Door stuff is here, and on January 1st when Shinsuke Nakamura goes to Noah. To wrestle Great Muda. That's the only time WWE sent somebody out,
Right. And let's not forget that one time Liger wrestled in NXT.
That's true. That was quite some time ago. Yeah.
And pro wrestling.
Refused to do the JOB for Breezy.
Yeah.
I mean, hindsight being 2020, was a good call.
It's never a good call for Tyler Breeze to lose.
I mean, what is he doing these days?
He's a trainer now.
Oh, good for him.
Him and like
Spears.
Yeah, flatbacks.
Oh, gotcha. But he hasn't done anything. He hasn't started wrestling again.
I don't know if he is. I think he's just kind of content where he's at. I was very sad
about when they first left. He was going to take some time off, and then Dango pretty much hit the ground running.
Breeze is waiting on WWE to give him a call back, which, as much as Trips loved Breeze, I'm shocked we haven't seen him. But I think he's okay where he's at right now. I know I was very disappointed that we didn't get to see him at WrestleCade last year.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys I was looking most forward to seeing. and he canceled the day of, which broke my heart. But Prince Pretty had other things to do, so can't really.
Maybe he's just gotten really fat and ugly, and is like just disgusted with himself, and is hiding out.
Like Prince Pretty like, would never. Like I think what had happened was
Ben Stiller in Underdogs or whatever, you know, he just gets all big and fat at the end, you know, because he just hates himself. I never
saw that movie. But I think what had happened was he had trouble flying in from his seasonal residence. You know, it happens when you have multiple homes and in multiple countries and time differences, you know, it happens. It happens. They didn't even tell us that Prince Pretty, you know, had left the building or had entered the building. So, I mean, it was just a sham production anyway. Tyler Breeze was too good for WrestleCade.
Speaking of being bummed at WrestleCade, as I was speaking to your friends, Chris and Rachel, they were bummed you couldn't make it this year.
I know.
They were kind of a last-minute appearance themselves. They were not advertised for anything. Right. They said they decided kind of a couple days before.
It was like a last minute. They're like, oh, we're here. Why not? Let's just drive a couple of hours.
Yeah. I'm sad I didn't get to see him. But...
And I'm still stupid. I did not capitalize on the fact that I had Claudio and Chris in the same building.
I know.
It's because we didn't know Chris was going to be there. Otherwise, we could have printed up our own pictures and had Claudio and Hero sign them.
Because when I was there, I'm like, why didn't I think? I was like, hey, listen, I'll pay $100 for the two of you to take a picture with me right now together. And it didn't dawn on me until the next day after we had already left.
At opposite ends of the building.
Literally opposite ends.
They were at the far wall. They were at one was at the one wall and one was at the other wall. Yeah.
King's reign supreme.
I've never been so stupid as I was that day. But great to see them. And funny enough, I was wearing my Chris Hero shirt and no clue he was going to be there. He's like, hey, nice shirt. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's the only yellow shirt you ever made.
Chris Hero. Make a yellow shirt.
I will buy it. Yeah, great seeing them. They looked in great spirits.
Always.
But yeah, they missed you for sure. So we all did. We all missed you, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
There's always next year, I'm sure. We do miss you, Eric. What would you think we do not?
I'm kidding.
I mean, who else is gonna, you know, rub Danny's back, you know? And
I've never rubbed Danny's back.
All those kind of things.
Carry our bags and.
Yeah.
That's not my job, sorry.
Drive us around. No, clip the toenails.
Yeah,
that's not gonna ever happen. Ever
scrub our backs in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Call JBL for that. Yeah. He was there.
Some humility.
Bradshaw was there. I'm sure he would have done it for you. He likes to scrub your backs.
No, he'll scrub your balls, but it's more to humiliate you, bro. It's a rib. It's to pop the boys. It's not because your balls are extra dirty and need the cleaning.
But that's okay. He can pop the boys, and you can simultaneously get clean. It's a win-win for everybody.
It's no homo, bro. It's just for a goof, okay? It's a rib, brother. It's in no way sexual assault when I touch your privates without your authorization. It's just for gags, okay?
Of course. I think I just murdered him. Oh, my God.
All right. Let's see. What else do we have happening lately? We have the... you know, of course, the Wrestle Kingdom coming up, but we just had a bunch of shows happen. Ring of Honor presented Final Battle not long ago. That's like December 10th, I think. 9th.
All Elite Wrestling presents Ring of Honor presents
Final Battle.
Well, it's more like Tony Khan presents All Elite. Whatever the bit was. Anyways, we get a lot of pre-show matches.
This whole pay-per-view was a pre-show.
Here we go. Blake Christian and AR Fox defeating La Facción Ingobernable. That's Rush and Dralístico. Athena defeats Mercedes Martinez to become the Ring of Honor Women's Champion. Swerve in Our Glory defeats Shane Taylor Promotions. The Embassy. Okay, so when did Brian Cage and Gates of Agony leave Tully Blanchard Enterprises and join the Embassy?
Tully kind of to watch AEW.
Tully kind of faded into the background, and then they were just kind of there. And then when Nana came in as the Embassy, he just kind of grabbed those guys. So they had the Tully thing, like at that first, you know, at the first ROH pay-per-view under All Elite banner, you know, Tully was like, ah, I got these guys now. And then it was like not long after that, like Tully kind of left TV. And so they just kind of stopped that.
Okay.
Just pretended like it all didn't right. happen. And then when Nana came to form the Embassy, he just grabbed those guys because nobody else was managing them, I guess.
Fair enough. They defeated Dalton Castle and the boys to win the ROH six-man tag team titles. Wheeler Utah defeated Daniel Garcia to become the ROH Pure Champion. The Briscoes defeated FTR to win the ROH World Tag Team Championship.
For the 13th time.
Samoa Joe defeated Juice Robinson to retain the ROH TV title. And Claudio Castagnoli defeated Chris Jericho to win the ROH World Championship. And I believe it was a submission on the swing. Apparently, yes. Jericho's not into swinging.
Yeah, he pretty much swung him around a bunch of times and Chris Jericho gave up. Yeah. Never had that move finish a match before ever. He would usually, you know, if it was to finish a match, it would usually set up the sharpshooter or something. Very unusual ending.
Well, it's Tony Khan's presents All Elite's Ring of Honor. So yeah. What is not strange about that?
Yeah.
But
yeah, there was quite a lot strange there. It very much still did not feel like a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, just felt like another All Elite show. I was kind of surprised that the television title would go over, would be, you know, on the card higher than the tag title match that was a grudge match. But I guess they needed something to kind of cool down because the crowd was pretty spent after that. And the match, Samoa Joe versus Juice, kind of reflected that, unfortunately. That match just didn't feel like it ever clicked. Juice was very much low-key as opposed to the rock hard Juice Robinson we saw, you know, when he first came into Bullet Club, when he was aggressive and yelling and cussing and all this stuff. All that kind of went out the window, and he was a very bland Juice, you know, watered down from concentrate, basically, as opposed to that fresh squeeze. Yeah, and the match just didn't feel like it clicked. It just, you know, as you know, they didn't really ever promote it like Juice was a viable threat to Samoa Joe, even during the match. Whenever, like, Juice would get some sustained offense, but that's cool. He'd get some sustained offense, and that was it. They never really had that moment where, oh man, you really think Juice is going to beat him? The dog collar match was fucking awesome.
I still haven't seen it.
Other than that, the rest of the show, honestly, is kind of passable. Even the women's match was kind of weird because Athena had been kind of playing, you know, since she kind of stiffed a youngin', you know, they kind of played that into her gimmick that she's wild and kind of dangerous and she attacked a ref and all this. But it was her hometown. So nobody wanted to boo in her hometown when she's in a title match. So it had a very weird dynamic. You know, it just didn't feel like it clicked really well either. She undid a turnbuckle pad to, you know, and led herself to the victory that way and still didn't get booed by you know, underhanded tactics and stuff. When she knocked Mercedes's head into that before hitting the O face.
She call it that again?
Yeah, that's what they called it, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they've been calling it that since she joined Elite, because it's, you know, the eclipse was because of her, you know, because her last name was Moon, basically.
Mm-hmm. Plus, Moon, you can't say O-Face on WWE, I'm sure.
I mean, they used to call the dude Mr. Ass. I'm pretty sure they could say O-Face, okay.
Yeah.
They used to tell grown men. They used to tell grown men to suck it, okay?
Different times.
That's true. When it's women's sexuality, it's very, very different.
I know. You get fired.
It's perverse. It's perverse and disgusting.
Fired. Yeah, it's gross.
But oiled up fat guys can come out and dance in thongs and bow ties and stuff, and that's cheeky fun.
It's just because WWE isn't getting a cut of that kind of money.
That's it. Yeah, they wanted their cut, and, you know, nope.
Do you see reportedly what she's made in the last 2 weeks?
Over half a million is what they
half
say.
Half a yeah, fucking million.
Half a fucking $1 million in 2 weeks. Yeah,
good. I don't know for her.
I don't know if I believe that, but
well, here's the thing:
like, you do that for a couple, months, and then you can shut the shit down and fucking play smart with your money, back, retire, yeah. Do whatever the hell you want. Go be a school teacher. Go be a fucking work at, you know, be a manager at McDonald's. Whatever the fuck you want, you know, professional fisherman or some shit. Whatever pleases you, because you can just kind of invest that money wisely and never have to truly worry about making ends meet forever.
If she's a school teacher, I'm going back to school.
So somebody educate me on this kind of thing. That this thing that she uses for her extracurriculars, I guess, is not her full-time job. Is this full-time job now, okay?
Yeah, it is now.
It is. Is this a subscription service, or is this more like a pay-per-view?
Both.
So you
subscribe to it for, I think hers is $30 a month, and then you can DM her for pay content. So you basically, what you get on the timeline is your $30, but if you want extras or stuff, she'll sell it to you for insert amount of money here. So when they said half a million dollars, her subscription service is $30 a month. Apparently she had over like 100,000 subscribers. So I could see it. Good for her. Good for her.
Yeah. I mean, her gimmick was that she was hot, and they got mad that she was monetizing off being hot, basically.
I know, right? How dare she actually?
Well, I hear that it was supposedly, you know, quote unquote, it was a WWE, but it was one of the, it was the Mattel Toys sponsor deal with their likeness or something. I don't know if they were worried that, because there was the, you know, maybe she was, some of what she was selling was partial nudity, or maybe not. It might have just been, you know, the platform she was using or what, but something, somehow it got to where it possibly violated the contract she signed with Mattel in order for them to make her action figure. And so WWE, of course, yeah.
To make her action figure?
Well, I know. Who's going to buy Mandy Webb's action figure anyway? But,
I would. I have one. But I mean, at the same time, like, damn, they ain't going to make a naked Mandy Rose. What the fuck does it matter?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know the exact wording in all this of whether it's because of the nudity or maybe the platform that she was using is owned by the parent company of a competitor of Mattel or what. Don't know any of the specifics. I've just heard that it possibly violated a Mattel deal. So, of course, they're not worried about, you know, oh, no, naked stuff. Like, that's happened before with different people, you know, like nudity's come out or whatever, you know. Somebody put it, like Seth Rollins, somebody put it out there, and, you know, or Paige's tape getting leaked and all this stuff, you know. Like, I think this is very different because it's not something personal that somebody is pushing out there against your wishes.
Yeah.
It's you putting it out there specifically. But also, like I said, because it is, you know, she's profiting off of it monetarily. So I don't know if that was part of it. But, you know, I don't think WWE was worried about the heat. I think it was more, hey, somebody else's money's involved. If you're going to threaten our toy deal, which, you know, brings us huge amounts of money, we're going to get rid of you to appease them, you know. And then once they basically kind of the smoke blows over and they're not worried about it anymore, then we could possibly bring you back. So, yeah, I definitely don't expect her to go popping up anywhere else anytime soon, unless it's maybe a signing or something. I don't expect her to, you know, ooh, I'm signed with Impact, or ooh, look, Mandy Rose is All Elite. You know, like, I don't think she gives a shit about that. She's going to do her online thing, heal up, bide her time until WWE decides they want to bring her back.
Mandy Dandelion. She can't be Mandy Rose.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, or she'll whatever her shoot name is. Isn't she like Italian or something?
I think it's like
Sacramento or
yeah. I was about to say Sacramento, but that's wrong. That's wrong.
No, it's Amanda Sacramento.
There you go.
I mean, good for Mandy, but
absolutely.
I hope it doesn't ruin Gigi. In her push.
No. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Hasn't seen such.
What I kind of heard about Mandy's, like, necessarily, because she's had this, I think, subscription thing for a while. And they've known about it. But I think lately, I think some of the private stuff that she's sent out, you know, I think to what you guys were talking, like, she does, you know, extras. Per request, I think those may have leaked out.
One or two did, and that was the thing. And it's like she's there's like a part you can see part of her nipple or something in it. Right. But I'm saying I don't know if they're concerned about the nudity or whether it's, you know, I don't know, wording of contracts. It could, you know, they could probably finagle something to where it violated something somewhere somehow. But I, you know, it's, I think from what I've heard, it's that it somehow messed with her Mattel contract. And that was one WWE was not wanting to sour in any way, shape or form. So they were like quick to get her, get rid of her, you know, with knowing that they would, you know, the doors open in, you know, X amount of time, you know, just don't do anything stupid between now and then and we'll bring you back kind of thing.
They should put out better toys anyway. Their basics are fucking trash.
Speaking of opening the doors, I hear that...
that's why they're basic, bro.
Vince McMahon is looking to come right back.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah, nah.
That ain't happening.
It all blows over. I think I was... he says he received bad advice when he was told to step down when he did because, you know... Oh, this whole thing would have just blown over, brother.
Nope.
Like, dude, you're like 100, okay? Relax. Enjoy your old age. Enjoy your kids, okay? You don't gotta be working all the fucking time. You've been doing that for too many years. Enjoy your retirement, old man.
Stay enjoy away.
Enjoy all the money that your son-in-law and your daughter and the other con are making for you. I mean... Jeez. Ratings are going well. Shows are selling out. I believe Monday Night Raw was a sellout in Chicago. Where did no, they were in Iowa, but also Chicago and SmackDown last Friday. Business is doing well. I got an email today saying tickets were limited for the WWE Super Show next Tuesday, which I will be attending.
I might, depending on how I feel that day.
Yeah, they announced the mini event is. Well, I don't know if it's going to be the mini event, but they've announced Rollins versus Theory in a cage match.
Oh, the God, Jesus Christ! I have to watch Seth Rollins lose. Beautiful.
And a triple threat match for the women's championship. I think the Raw Women's Championship. Becky Lynch,
Bianca, and Alexa.
Something like that. I can't remember.
Well, shit, if I have to watch Theory beat Seth Rollins, I don't know if I'm interested in going.
You mean you don't want to cheer for Atlanta's own Austin Theory?
No, not a chance in hell.
I mean, you know, I mean, he's running his hometown. You know, maybe he'll lose by disqualification. You know how you
can't get disqualified in a cage match.
It's happened many times.
Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation.
I think I'll just save my my efforts for Vengeance Day.
Yeah. Anyways, Corey and I will be there front row. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Front row. Well, damn.
Finally, you know, it takes a house show to be able to afford front row.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Even then, it's still $500.
Yeah, if it was Monday Night Raw, I'd probably be paying more like a grand. Like,
well, yeah.
So, none televised. Nobody will see me. It's funny enough because I'm sitting literally across from where the camera would be. So, I would be on TV the whole entire time if this was televised. So, which technically I was originally was supposed to because I was going to try to get tickets for
day one.
Yeah. But
God, Brady, Jesus Christ.
Was.
Dog farts?
Shit. Yeah.
All right. Oh, another show we just had happen this past November. Survivor Series. War Games. Fellas. I didn't watch this live, obviously. Was busy with WrestleKating. Sort of after the fact. Team Belair defeated Team Bayley. AJ Styles defeated Finn Balor. Ronda Rousey defeated Shotzi. By the way, can we say it's really fun watching Rousey and Baszler together these days? I mean, yeah. I mean, they're just kicking butt.
Shane is a killer again.
I'm saying. Yeah, I love the way they booked them together. Austin Theory defeated Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley to win the United States title. And the Bloodline crushed, disseminated, whatever the Roman Reigns usually says, the Brawling Brutes, Drew McIntyre, and Kevin Owens.
As he should have. The Bloodline is the best.
Of course, Sami Zayn proving once again his allegiance to the Bloodline and to the Tribal Chief by fighting his best friend or ex-best friend, Kevin Owens, choosing his Tribal Chief. Only 5 matches, but I mean,
the War Games matches. The War Games matches, yeah. Yeah, because they got a lot of spacing and people to come in and then, you know, once everybody gets in, then it's fucking pandemonium.
Yeah. Of course, Becky Lynch being announced a few days earlier as the 5th member. I really thought it was going to be Mark Henry, but you know, I mean, not Mark Henry. Was it Mark Henry? No, it was somebody else. Mabel. Yeah, I thought it was going to be Mabel, but unfortunately it wasn't. It was Becky Lynch. Everybody was hoping it was going to be Sasha Banks. It wasn't. We need that. Yeah, but I think a really fun, easy show to watch, this Survivor Series.
I mean, if the 5th person was going to be Mabel, they were going to have to get a backhoe, okay? Going to have to dig that sumbitch up. That man been dead for years, okay? They're going to have to dig up that body. Let's put 50,000 volts through it or some shit and turn that sumbitch loose in the cage.
My daddy died. Wah, wah, wah.
You have to shock him more than they did Abdul the Butcher, okay?
I need to watch that whole segment again. I fucking love it.
You're a nasty bastard. Your mama said so. You're a big nasty. You're a nasty bastard. Your mama said so.
I was watching something the other. Oh, So I fall down YouTube rabbit holes all the time, and I was watching somebody review Armageddon 99, and the semi-main was Boss Man versus Big Show for the world title, and they were doing like the lead in to it. Yo mama said you a that nasty bastard. Yo mama said it. Just oh my god. The wrestling quality was absolute trash, but that was some entertaining.
Because the Big Show was the underdog babyface. Like what? The guy's 500 fucking pounds. Why is he ever bet against to lose against somebody unless he's got like two broken legs or something?
My daddy died. Wah.
You're an nasty bitch. Your mama said so.
Shit. Entertaining stuff. Apparently Chelsea Green deleted her OnlyFans, so that means she's coming back.
Apparently that's what that means, yeah.
Royal Rumble, you guys think?
Probs.
Yeah. I mean, I think she gets announced before the Royal Rumble because I don't know if her being a surprise entrant would be as exciting to most of the casual fans as it would be a handful of hardcores.
I
definitely think she'll get a pop. I mean, seeing people's reaction at SummerSlam to Io and Dakota is any indication.
I think, but they also had like more than three or four matches in WWE though before being brought up to to the main roster. Chelsea was there, but really didn't have a whole lot. Like she had a couple matches on the main roster, and then she kind of went away.
Well, Chelsea had the misfortune of having one match breaking her arm, coming back, having another match breaking her arm, having another match and breaking her arm. So
it was definitely not a great time for, health wise. So, like I said, some people may remember her, some people be excited, other people be like, oh, okay, I think I kind of remember her,
Her hubby getting the pop at the Rumble, though.
I don't know if Zack Ryder's going to get the pop.
Matt Cardona's going to get the pop, not Zack Ryder. Remember,
Zack Ryder's dead, so.
Zack Ryder's not dead?
Yeah. He would only come back as Cardona.
So he claims until they write him a bigger check, and then he'll come back as fucking. He'll do whatever his buddy Triple H says. He'll come back in the one-legged tights and everything.
If he wrestled in the one-legged tights like last week, I'm hyped for it.
Those
one-legged motherfuckers back. I love them bitches.
And he brought his own custom-made WWE CW championship.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, the show with the. Yeah, this past weekend, yeah.
Woo, woo, woo.
So, speaking of making comebacks, how about, T-Bar is no more. Dominik Dijak is back on NXT.
He's just Dijak, and he was never Dominik Dijak, but he's just Dijak, apparently. He just has one name because it makes him scarier or something.
And he looks like Alex Wright. I'm sorry, he looks like Berlin.
Berlin, yeah.
On steroids. Well, I think
He's got the Mr. Hughes face going on too. Sunglasses and that overpronounced scowl. He took lessons from Mr. Hughes on how to make that mean guy face.
Yeah, I think our friend Ben from Chattanooga had tweeted about it when he first came out, and I told him like, look. You've been asking for Alex Wright like for the past 2 years, so this is the best you get.
We stand Alex Wright.
And this past Monday, another return as Jonah is no more. Bronson Reed is back on WWE.
Meh.
Bodyguarding for Miz. All right.
Yeah.
I don't think Miz has done very good with, I don't think being Miz's, somebody who teams with Miz is a very good idea. It hasn't always had spelled success for most of his people.
Well, either they are less talented people that can't keep up, or they get injured.
Well, I'm talking about most of the people that have been with him for one in one way or the other. Yes. have pretty much just kind of it's usually not been a very good gig for them.
Right.
Like you said, for injury or because they're not that good and they can't survive on their own. You know, Alex Riley is kind of the big prime example of that. You know, but I mean, he had other people, you know, who's.
Did Sandow spend time with him too?
Yep.
Yeah, because he was Miz's Shat stunt double or what the fuck ever was the stupid gimmick. I'm trying to think. I mean, he's got Ciampa, you know, but Ciampa can't stay healthy, unfortunately. Morrison, who can't keep the WWE happy, apparently, keeps going in and out.
Look, he's got other things to worry about. He's the mayor of Slamtown. He can't just always be at WWE.
That's true. He's got to do mayoral stuff. He's got business to take care of in Slamtown. And you talk about commutes, plus, brother. Slamtown.
Plus, it's far.
Listen, let's not forget that I think what wasn't the round of releases that included him were like one of the last ones under the Vince regime. So, I don't know. I could see Trips on doing that, you know, eventually.
It just all depends on the business he's got to attend to at Slamtown. Like, he might not be able to come back right now. Things may not be good in Slamtown.
Yeah,
they might need their mayor there. Yeah, you know, he might not be able to offer
Shaman of Sex needed.
Yeah,
we shall see.
I love that this is now just the gimmick that we run with Tanger.
It's fucking yeah. It's fucking Slamtown. Slamtown.
Yeah. Speaking of also coming back, we saw Kurt Angle return for his birthday in Pittsburgh at SmackDown, and boy, did he look slow and old.
He looked good.
He looked much better than he did the year before last at WrestleCade, where he literally looked sickly, and he looked like he was that sickly old person where he kind of doesn't know what's going on at all times, you know? Like, he kept having to be snapped back into reality.
Like, every time I looked at Kurt Angle, it looked like the wheel was turning, but the hamster was dead.
Yeah, yeah. This year, he looked a lot healthier. He looked a lot better. Yeah, he's old. He's slower. But he definitely looked a lot better.
Yeah, and what the heck, Gable Stevenson, I thought he got drafted to Raw.
It's Kurt Angle Appreciation Night.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's all the work, brother.
All right. So
I was just happy his son Jason Jordan got to be there and celebrate with him.
Oh yeah.
And gave him a birthday card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of being happy, we all were hearing rumblings about the streak being broken, the streak no longer, you know, existing, the streak ending this year. And that is John Cena's streak of what, 20 something years, of consecutive wrestling.
That already broke. He's already spent 365 days away from the wrestling ring already.
Whatever. Anyways, each year he wrestles at least once, and he had yet to wrestle in 2022. and it didn't look like he was going to wrestle in 2022. But however, you know, he actually will right before the year is over. SmackDown, the last SmackDown of the year will be Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens and John Cena. Cena Claus is like the gift that keeps on giving.
I mean,
maybe better late than never, but yeah, the streak continues, will not end. John Cena will be wrestling for a consecutive year.
I mean,
yippee-ki-yay.
He all the things that he talked about disliking for so long, he's now become them, okay? He's become now the part-timer who's hopping in the way and taking a spot from a young, hungry kid, you know, who's there 365, busting his butt. And now Johnny, you know, comes back for a big payday and steals somebody's spot. You know, it's just, it's a damn shame all these damn Hollywood fucking big-time part-timers coming back and ruin it for the, you know, for the everyday workers, okay?
Listen, everyday workers do not deserve to be in the ring with the tribal chief. Everybody of consequence has been smashed by the tribal chief. So, who else is there left? You had to bring John Cena back.
He's already been smashed.
True. But, you know, now he's going to get double smashed.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah. Oh.
It's okay. We're going to watch his cousin get his ass whooped, too.
John Cena has a cousin?
He has a cousin.
No.
You don't know that?
Roman's cousin. Don't get that ass whooped at WrestleMania.
Which one? He's got like 40 of them.
Dwayne. He
definitely does. Yeah. But hey, he's got first. I mean, rumors are it's going to be Kevin Owens at the Rumble, following with Sami Zayn at the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, he's going to smash them, both of them, and stack both of them. It's going to be light work. Sami ain't going to do shit against Roman. We've already watched Kevin Owens get his ass whooped by the Tribal Chief. I mean, what else has Roman got to prove?
Yeah, smashing the Canadians. Yeah. Okay, so let's see what else is going on in the world of pro wrestling that I haven't kept up with.
New NXT Women's Champion.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, of course. Well, that's because of the whole.
It's because she beat her in the match. Then Mandy was fired after, okay?
Yeah.
Nothing other than that. Those were separate acts, okay? She lost her title and then lost her job in two consecutive days. It's a rough fucking week.
I will say it was kind of cool that she was able to become the champion in front of her teacher. As Booker T was in the commentary for that. So, I mean, that's got to be cool to be able to do that, you know, from the person who helped you get to the game.
And look, Roxy's a badass, too. Like,
yeah,
girl can fucking go.
I mean, and Booker wasn't just like, oh, she's, you know, whatever, he's her trainer. Like, she, you know, she started going there before she could drive a fucking car, okay? She would literally ride her bike to training and all that. You know, to probably help out and maybe get in the ring and run the ropes or something for a while, you know? So he's, you know, he's known her for many, many, many years. And that was kind of, that definitely where she cut her teeth and before she started branching outside of Texas. And, you know, she became the first Women of Honor champion. You know, that was kind of her, one of her bigger, you know, first kind of bigger national stage. And then, you know, she opted to go with WWE over waiting to see if, you know, Tony Khan was going to buy WWE or what the fuck or whatever. I mean, Ring of Honor.
Well, I mean, even though, like, you know, she even said in her interview Tuesday, like, the first thing that she told Booker when on her first day of training was she wants to be a WWE superstar. So, yeah. I mean, well, like,
she was also 13, so that makes sense.
Well, yeah, but then, I mean, like, to say that, like, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, however old she'd be at 21 minus, I don't know, math is hard. Yeah, I was right, six. Like, and then now to be the NXT Women's Champion, like, that's insane. Good for Roxy.
Absolutely.
I've been a fan of hers for a couple of years. I've been kind of following her on the independent circuit. Good for her. Like, she's a kick-ass worker, and she you can tell she loves it. You can tell she absolutely loves it. And you know what? Not to harp on Mandy longer than I have to, but good on Mandy. Mandy knew going into that match she was fired, from what I understand. She could have sandbagged and made Roxy look like shit the entire time, but mm-hmm. she put on a damn good match with Roxy.
Yeah, doing the professional thing, you know, doing his
doing
what you're supposed to, making them try to look good, and you know, because it ultimately makes the title look better, you know, and all that as well. I think she knew that she was gone, but she knew that a window was there, you know, and even if a window wasn't open with WWE, if any other wrestling company sees you doing that on your way out, your wrestling career is pretty much done.
And it's crazy to me that, like, you know, we didn't know exactly what was happening behind the scenes at that point in time. And like the NXT crowd gave her flowers after it went off the air. Ooh, excuse me. I didn't mean burp. But they gave her a standing O.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mandy's. Like, I love it. Like,
I think they assumed that once she dropped that title, she was going main roster. I think that's what it was. They thought that like next week she was going to be on Raw or SmackDown. You know, so that was, they considered it her NXT farewell, you know, at least her farewell big match.
Yeah. I mean, I did too. Honestly, I would have never expected, you know,
very next day,
almost the longest reigning women's champion in NXT to being fired the next day. Like, that's insane to me. But you know, like I said, good for her. She could have sandbagged and made Rox and the NXT title look like shit. But she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where some people would have. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen that.
Yeah.
In other companies.
Yeah.
Don't want to name names.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's bring it back to a little cool thing. You know, I don't think we talked about this. Back in 2016... you know, Scott Hensley, of course, ring announcer here in the area, also founder of the Cine City Invitational, remember putting out, hey, who's in your wish list of people you like to see in the Cine City Invitational in the future? And one guy I put top of my list was Shug D. Of course, love Shug. Friends for a long time, just appreciate him, love the wonderful human being. But yeah, and I don't know, I feel like I got some type of nonsensical answer I really didn't like or didn't really sit well with me. But now, I mean, officially, I think sometime early this year was announced. Shug D, I think, what you know, became the first or second entrant into the Invitational.
He became the first entrant because he won the Rumble.
There you go. That's it. I couldn't remember how he got in.
Yeah, he won the Cine City Rumble, so he's the first entrant announced for the following year's tournament.
So he's going to be there next year. And I saw him last month, I think, or was it this month anyway, when we went to the action show?
It was the beginning of this month, yeah.
Yeah, so it was, earlier this month, I got to, you know, talk to him a little bit in backstage and whatnot, and I told him, like, this is for me. I mean, I don't like, for him, probably huge, right? I mean, we're talking about a guy who's from Georgia, from here for a long time, never given the opportunity or respect. I think for a while, the only place really booking him in Georgia was AWE, and no one else. He had to leave. He would get bookings everywhere else in the U.S., even overseas when he did a few, British tours. But he would never get the love and respect here in Georgia. Well, now, since he's been back, you know, pandemic, couldn't go back to the U.K., been here, of course. Our friend Matt from Action has been booking him, and tremendous stuff that he's been doing at Action. And now Now he gets opportunity, and in the South, CC Invitational means something to people, right? It's a thing you want to do. It's something you want to cross off your checklist if you know you're a local Southerner. And of course, right now, everybody's talking about the pride of the South, and everybody just you got the Southeast first, and you got all these promotions doing, you know, Southern shows, kind of like talking about how like great the South is. But I think, you know, since 2015, the Cincinnati Invitational has meant something to the South, and it's definitely helped some people be exposed to the rest of the country and whatnot. And I'm saying, I'm so stoked that Shig D is going to be at the Cincinnati Invitational next year. I told him, like, listen, I haven't been at their shows in a while for many different reasons, but I think I'm going to make my way back this next August, because I can't miss, you know, the opportunity of seeing Shig D in the Cincinnati Invitational. For me, I know that he's looking forward to it, but for me, as a fan, watching him be there is going to be, for me, like a wish come true.
And I think that, you know, him turning a very different Leaf character was, you know, in the Southeast First Movement, where he was kind of, you know, the heel who kind of tried to take over, and, you know, he was tired of being passed up and passed up and passed up. I think that's also going to help make his role in that tournament, and, you know, even leading up to that tournament now, you know, where he's still kind of holding over people, like, you guys tried to hold me out of this for so long, and he, you know, now there's nothing you can do. You know, I played by your rules enough to get in there. So I think, you know, his role in the tournament's also going to be really interesting and exciting. You know, he's going to definitely be trying to heal it up and trying to cheat his way through that tournament the best he can. Which is, you know, going to be really exciting. I think that's will add a new dynamic to the tournament that's supposed to be built on, you know, respect and honor and true spirit of competition. You know, you have somebody who's just trying to win it, and then hold it over people that he won it. So I think that it's also going to be exciting for those reasons, not just because of the personal journey of Shug D, but I think for character wise, I think it's going to be really cool and fun to watch too.
You know, that's for sure. Can't wait. First week of August usually, but hey, they just announced also that City Rumble is coming back March 4th in Chattanooga. So that'll be fun to watch. All right, so as we said at the beginning of the show, Danny and I are going to be heading to Tokyo, Japan, January 1st to the 6th. Yeah, get all your sickness out of the way, Danny.
I'm trying to get it out now. Yeah,
I asked for blessings. I asked my job if I could work from home all of next week because I didn't want to be exposed to people in the office.
Yeah.
Because, you know, last year people get sick at Christmas. I mean, let's not mind that I'm going to an arena with 20 plus thousand people on the 27th.
That's different.
Yeah, but you know, my job is more intimate where you like right near other people. I'm thankfully working from home. To try to stay safe. What's the word? Try to stay away from the germs.
Social distancing.
Yeah, that's still a thing, people. But Danny and I have been talking about, well, we're there. There's stuff going on. You know, we got. I think we have a self-guided tour scheduled for January 5th. Before New Year's Dash, pretty much the 5th is taken. The 2nd will just get acclimated, get settled. So we got start. We're free the 2nd, you know, January 2nd in the evening. We're free pretty much all day on the 3rd. So you think of things what to do. I don't think we decided. I know, and the only reason why I'm bringing it up also now is because, you know, hey, great content for the podcast, but also I just announced All Japan Pro Wrestling is having their New Year's Giant series on the 2nd and the 3rd. I know that we have been discussing other stuff to do, but you know we couldn't decide. And they're going to be at Curtain Hall, which is right there, pretty much.
I hadn't heard anything about that. So all Japan, huh?
All Japan Pro Wrestling, January 3rd, and January 3rd, we probably wouldn't be able to make it. It's in the morning, so we probably wouldn't be able to do January 2nd, but January 3rd, 11:30 a.m. local time.
Do we have anything on our itinerary on the 3rd at that time?
I don't think so, because I think the lunch and self-guided tour is on the same. It's on the 5th. On the 5th, I thought.
No, those are two different. Those are two different things. You're mixing the two.
I thought they were the same day.
No, because the self-guided tour is the same day as New Year's Dash, the tour of Tokyo.
I thought all of it was the same day.
That's No. They're breaking stuff up over time. On January 3rd is we go to the Tokon shop and see the New Japan ISM, and then we go to the luncheon. Our luncheon starts at 12:30, or the talk session before that starts at 11:30. Luncheon's at 12:30, and then by 1:30, from 1:30 on, we're free to do whatever we want on the 3rd. My hope was of the shows that we were able to see that would be nearby, since I wanted to hit up a Joshi show. And I don't know if we'll be able to do that. There's a Stardom show on the 3rd, but I think it's that first half of the day. I don't think it's the evening. But there's a Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling show on the morning of the 4th. And I think that's my pick as our extra show to go to. They're already opening up. They have already opened up tickets online to sell internationally. There'll also be some of our compatriots there, as Trisha Dora is wrestling on that show. Max the Impaler and Heidi Howitz are wrestling on that show. Yuka Sakazuki and Miyu Yamashita are the main event. So to me, that's my pick for our at least if we're only going to do one extra show, but definitely our Joshi show, and that's on starts at 11:30 a.m. on the 4th. It's at Korakin, which is in walking distance from our hotel, in walking distance to Tokyo Dome, because we're supposed to meet back at the hotel at 3 o'clock on the 4th to kind of walk together to go to Wrestle Kingdom. Because the doors open right then at 3. We can go in.
This is on the 3rd.
No, this is on the 4th. This is our day 3, but it's January 4th.
Oh, it's the 11:30, the morning show.
Yeah. It's the morning of January 4th. So it would start at 11:30.
Oh, that's DDT. They also, okay.
No, it's Tokyo Joshi. Yeah, it's under the banner of DDT, but it's the women's promotion, yeah. Tokyo TJPW.
Tokyo Joshi Pro.
Yeah. And so that I'm pretty sure that they're going to keep it a tight 2.5-3 hours just because they know everybody's going to be going to Wrestle Kingdom. They're not going to try to hold it over. So that would be my pick for Joshi show, and maybe we can see if there's something on that evening of the 3rd. If we want to do something, because we also have to remember on day 5 of our trip, which is actually January 6th, we don't have any scheduled events. It's the day we leave, but our flight doesn't leave until that evening. Our flight doesn't leave until like 7. So we'll have that pretty much that whole day to ourselves. If we want to get into the show or
the only show I know
we'll do our shopping or something.
Yeah.
Oh, 6:30 that night? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, but we can do all of our shopping and all of our stuff that, you know, all of our extra stuff we talked about on that last day if we want to. So we can see more wrestling shows those first couple days.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So we get there on the 2nd, right? We arrive around 2 p.m., 2, 3 p.m. So on the 2nd, Big Japan has its show at Korakuen Hall
at 6:30. Okay. That might be pushing it, though, just based on how long it takes us to get through customs and all that crap and then back to the hotel and checked in. I don't know.
I'm just speaking out loud.
Oh, gotcha. What is out there?
So the 3rd, you're talking the 3rd after 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
There's Dove, Ice Ribbon, and Stardom all at 3 and 4 p.m. Big Japan at 5. The show you were talking about, the DDT show at 6:30.
And
the Tokyo Shinjuku Face at 7. That's a lot of shows. I'll send you this link that I have too so you can see
the calendar. It's all the shows in the area. Okay.
Yeah. And of course, the women's show, the women's show you talked, I'm sorry, DDT is having their men's show on Sunday, on the 3rd. But the women's show 11:30.
Yeah. And of course, Wrestle Kingdom.
Wrestle Kingdom. Then the next day, the 5th, I think we get a that guided tour that's going to take us half day, basically. So the 5th is pretty much out.
Yeah, because our guided tour starts at 9 a.m. We go a bunch of places, and then we do the NJPW ISM special exhibit. And then head to the Ota City General Gymnasium. So that's different because they're taking. So I thought that New Year's Dash was at Korakuen Hall again. I thought that's where it had always been. But now this year I see that it's at the Ota City Gymnasium. So we actually have to get on a chartered bus with our group to go to New Year's Dash and then ride the bus back. Okay. I'm just now seeing. I thought it was just a. So I definitely want to do Tokyo Joshi Pro then because we get to go to Korakuen Hall, which I thought we were doing with New Year's Dash. So that's definitely an arena I've always wanted to go to too.
Yeah. So, I mean, based on the schedule that I sent you over there, share with you.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, there's, if we time it properly, we could probably hit a few more shows.
At the same time, I don't want to cram too much shit in there. I think because the travel, I think, is the 14 hours is going to hit us kind of hard, I think. It's not 5 or 6 hours on a flight across country. So I don't know if I want to pack like 6 shows into so much time, you know?
Yeah, well, definitely not. No. I mean, force my limit.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, that because that Tuesday show I was talking about there's a Tuesday show All Japan and Suzuki's gonna be on it too. That's the one that he'll be on it, and the Triple Crown title, Miyahara and Nomura are gonna wrestle for the Triple Crown title. And Yoshitatsu, I haven't seen Yoshitatsu in a long time.
Well, you know.
That's it. I know. Still. But yeah, it'll be fun wherever we end up. I'm probably gonna record some stuff. Probably gonna record some video footage of our
travelogues and all that shit. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. I'll pause whatever I record on the for the YouTube page, which I haven't really put anything on that in a while. So why not start going? But it's gonna be fun. It's going to be great. Eric, we wish you were there with us. You'll be with us in Spirit.
Just I'm sorry, not what?
Spirit Airlines. You'll be with us in Spirit, even though we wish you'd be with us in physical form.
No, thank you.
In Tokyo. But
that sounds like I would not have fun at all.
Oh, you would have a blast.
There would be like one thing that I would be looking forward to, and it would be Stardom. And other than that, I would have zero interest. Gun,
but yeah, would you like us to bring you a souvenir?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe an 8x10 from Sasha Nat Banks.
No, I've got plenty of those. I don't know. Maybe. You can bring me home a Julia. I would appreciate that.
A Julia, mm-hmm. Bro. They don't do that anymore. Yeah.
You'd have to go through a catalog and order one. Okay, that's we don't. Oh, yeah.
They get those from Russia, not Japan.
Yeah. The mail order brides.
I was just talking about an 8x10. What are you talking about?
No, I don't think you were.
Mind out of the gutters.
Mm-hmm.
Human trafficking is not allowed, sir.
That's right. We don't condone it either.
I just want an 8x10.
Do they even make him that size?
Probably not. I think it's like an A4 over there or whatever.
They do. Yeah, they do A4, which is not. It's not. It's actually bigger than our standard 9.5x11 sheets, because I've bought some pictures and they come A4 and they're metric system. So 8.5x11 means nothing to them because they don't use inches. So it's an even round number of centimeters. So it's basically
that's going to be something for your collection if you get any while we're over there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, guys, I can't wait for it. I can't wait for the end of the year. 2022 is almost over. 2023 is almost upon us. It's been a wild ride. And I would like to close it off just saying, hey, next year we're gonna be back better than ever. I know that it feels like FW Radio has been on sort of a
a very flexible schedule.
Listen, it was kind of like on and off, like when you like, I can't think of the word, semi hiatus here and there, right? We've been infrequent. A lot of things have been going on the last year and a half stuff. But 2023, we're going to bring it back. We're going to have more consistency. We're going to have, hopefully more stuff. I want to do more stuff with the YouTube, so we're going to figure that out. But, I wait for great things. I'm looking forward to the new year and a lot of new potential stuff and opportunities. But, guys, thank you for always being with me. And then hopefully we can get back next week. We can look back at 2022 and get ready for the trip. Hopefully, Danny and I survive, and then we can make this even funner. But thank you, everybody, for listening, as always, and also for tuning in, all the people who are going to be listening to this after the fact. Thank you as well. On all platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Amazon Music, Spotify, and everywhere else you get this podcast from it. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to follow us. And you know, thank you for following us on Twitter, because we're some different random people that have so much different types of different tastes. But thanks for the follows. Make sure you follow us at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. Mika's somewhere on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at Yellowman PA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.